Gangsta, yeah. Not having the radio. Gangsta, yeah. Not having it.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Hopefully this will work.
Was it something in your throat? No, like a foreign object?
No, I was eating no foreign objects.
Just,
it was like,
you know, I feel like the Brady Bunch, you know, where Peter lost his voice.
Things are changing.
That could be.
Somebody ought to cover that. Hey, have I told everybody my brilliant idea? This is in the pantheon of brilliant ideas. This one's right at the... I hesitate to even say it because then someone will do it and I won't get credit for it. But, you know, I was going to say that somebody should cover that Brady, the Times, but somebody probably has because it's ironic and blah, blah, blah. Can I just tell you this? Can we have... And I'm going to start it right now as a Gen Xer. And I hate that term, but it is, you know, I am what I am. You know, you can't deny what you are. So as a Gen Xer, I'm going to take the first step right now. I'm going to propose a moratorium on all wacky, ironic sort of pop culture jokes revolving around the Brady Bunch. I think it's time. I think it's time that we just quit using the Brady Bunch as a clever, easy, generational punchline. It's just one of those things that's been done. It's been done to death. We need to retire it for like 10 years and bring it back later on. We don't need to do it right now.
What do I do now? Three's Company references?
I'm gonna start making fun of Conrad Bain. That's going to be what I do. I'm going to go to Conrad Bain for all my humor. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, CBS is moving to bounce Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake from next Sunday's Grammy Awards. Sources tell the New York Post the network will demand the two stars be tossed from the 46th annual awards of CBS's probe shows. A duel schemed in advance to expose...
Schemed. Like they're pulling the Brinks job. Like, hey, let me do my wacky morning show thing. Read the beginning of the article again, and I'll be an FM morning DJ.
Well, CBS is moving to bounce Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake from next Sunday's Grammy Awards.
Bouncing from the awards or bouncing at the awards? All right, here's Limp Bizkit.
Hey, why don't we just cane him?
What the hell was that?
Why don't we just cut off his head? Put a stake in his ass.
What the hell was that? You got to quit.
Just crucify them both. Okay. What the hell?
Okay.
So let's review what we know so far.
Where's coffee for Clyde today?
Janet Jackson apologizing, saying it wasn't my intention to go as far as it did.
Mm-hmm.
Then Timberlake issued an apology, saying it was merely a costume malfunction. But then... this is what he said on Access Hollywood after the incident.
That was fun. It was quick, slick, to the point. And, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
You guys are getting pretty hot and steamy up there.
Hey, man. We love giving y'all something to talk about.
That's that.
And note that the Timberlake, see, it's proof of this is his moment in the sun, because note that none of the flack is coming down on him. That he's not, I mean, even though he is the one who did it, I mean, he's the one who, I mean, obviously they were in kind of cahoots on the whole thing, but that he's not getting any crap about this. It's all coming down. Janet Jackson's the one who's being taken out and beaten senseless about this. Even though, I mean, Timberlake obviously had to be in on it. I mean, I think the idea probably originated with her, but, you know, he went along with it. But it's all, man, Janet's getting pilloried for it.
So Michael Powell, the FCC chairman, tells a local TV station the apology won't stop their investigation.
When the law says that I have a duty to prosecute the thing, I will prosecute them.
So the investigation will be swift and thorough.
Yeah, all right, whatever you say.
What are we going to do, use breasts as Exhibit A?
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
I mean, I, to me, I don't know if CBS has the Super Bowl next year, but it's like they're going to triple whatever their audience was. I mean, really, the government should be allowing this sort of thing because it's the only way that network television is going to be able to compete with cable. I was, you know, because here's the thing. People don't really know this. I don't want to bore you all by going on and on and on about the various intricacies and machinations of the FCC. But I will tell you this, that cable television and network television don't have to follow the same sets of rules. That's why South Park can use the S word. What was that one episode where they used it 158 times or something? And The Shield uses profanity and full frontal nudity, by the way, or at least toplessness in their very first episode. The Shield had full-on nudity, a cop being shot in the face, and a woman, a dead, you know. The Shield, I'm trying to gross anybody up, but the first episode of The Shield featured this hot woman who was dead. She was like a dead, you know, woman. And there's some cops sitting there looking at her dead corpse going, yeah, waste of a great set of cans, you know, or just something, you know, something really terrible. But they don't have to follow the same rules because they're on cable, they're not on the airwaves. Literally, Because, you know, like CBS and NBC, literally the signals go through the air, just like the radio, which is why they're regulated. Cable does not go through the air. You can't just pull it out of the air with an antenna, which is why it's not regulated. People don't realize that. However, Tim Riley notwithstanding, everybody on Earth has cable. Everyone has cable. So, I mean...
Dave Paul doesn't.
I don't.
What the hell is wrong with you all?
I don't watch TV. I don't have time. So
you don't watch TV because you don't have cable.
Well,
what are you going to watch? Friends? What is it? I mean, there's nothing on. Of course you don't watch
my
TV.
My schedule, I'm out all the time doing things. I'm a social butterfly.
You don't watch the news. You are the news.
I am the news.
Yeah, right. Well, in any event, the point is, most people have cable, and so it's sort of this false distinction now to make between broadcast TV and cable TV. And the only way that network television is going to be able to compete is if they just loosen these rules up a little bit. I mean, it's... You know, 90% of the television watching I do is on cable because everything on the networks, it's crap. It's just the way it is. Patty, you're on Hot Talk tonight at KFTK.
Yeah, I think what should happen is Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake should sing again, and Janet should rip the right side of the crotch of his pants out and reveal one of his testicles.
Seriously, I think you're onto something here.
Yeah.
I think... What? We all know that Clyde's a fan of exposed testicles, but
that's only fair.
No.
Justin thought it was such a big joke.
No, I think.
You know, what if his testicle was hanging out there for 2 or 3 seconds?
I think you're onto something here. I think that MTV or FX or HBO ought to have the next appearance of Janet and Justin, and she can just expose one of his butt cheeks. She can pull off the thing.
I don't think a butt cheek. I think we got to do testicle.
It's not really equivalent, though. It's not really the same thing.
Well,
it's not really.
Cheek, that's no big deal. We got to do a testicle.
I thought women were all about the ass.
But we see asses all the time.
Yeah, not uncovered, though. You haven't seen Justin Timberlake's uncovered butt.
Well, one ass is just the same as another. We see asses in movies all the time.
We
want to see something that's shocking, you know, like is going to make a big deal like this one did. I'm
so glad my mom doesn't listen to this station.
They like watching dangly
down Did you ever think that there would come a time when we would be on the air talking about whether to rip off pants and expose someone's testicles? And whether or not that's better than
the
ass?
I'm tired of... having women's bodies, you know, displayed all over the place, but, you know, men's bodies aren't.
Well,
you know?
Because men's bodies are weird looking.
Well, okay, but let's be fair here.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. All right.
Okay, thanks.
Excellent. There you go. That's Patty.
Meanwhile, William Youngblood, the manager of Houston's Leather and Exile store, says Jackson's representatives came into a shop looking for special gear that would, quote, show the bare necessities.
Representatives came in, told us they were looking for special pieces for a dominatrix-type show during the Super Bowl. Body jewelry for this general area. We told them we didn't carry that. I think that's the reason why they brought it back.
Although the FCC says it's no laughing matter, people like Letterman, whose show appears on network that aired the controversial performance, had a few things to say about it.
How many of you saw that thing with Janet Jackson?
Yeah, the people are outraged, aren't they?
I'll be honest, I was happy to see that happen at a Janet Jackson thing because that meant for one night I wasn't the biggest boob on CBS.
See, I would have gone with the it proves once and for all she's not Michael joke. That's the way I would have gone.
You know, I want to point out something. This thing, this whole situation with her breast, is bigger than the Kennedy assassination. People want to find out.
It's the Zapruder film of the 21st century.
We went into a place and they were looking for special clothing.
There was a second breast in the shrubs.
There was a breast on the grassy knoll. I mean, it just seems so...
You didn't show her grassy knoll.
Okay,
here's another Letterman comment.
I guess the guy, what's his name, Justin Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, he's saying that the problem was a wardrobe malfunction. And I was thinking, geez, last time I was involved in a wardrobe malfunction, I became a father.
Then more outrage. Jackson's record label Virgin Records says, well, her first single wasn't supposed to be released till March, but they had to make it available yesterday, due in part to overwhelming demand.
Uh-huh. Is this the new Janet?
Yeah.
What kind of crap is this?
Oh, that's disappointing.
Do you remember that stuff that we used to get on the back of Alphabet's boxes?
That's what that sounds like. The Sugar Bears present.
Yeah.
Jesse, you're on Hot Talk tonight at KFTK.
How you doing, Rick?
What's up?
All right. It's obvious that they
intentionally did this, and I can see two reasons for it.
Yes.
One being Janet wants to take some heat off her brother by getting some media attention.
It's what Penn and Teller call misdirection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or two, the one I think is more true is Britney had her little thing with Madonna and got tons of attention for it. Now Justin's doing his thing with Janet Jackson.
Oh, I hadn't really thought about that. I hadn't really thought about the Justin versus Britney aspect of this. Well spotted.
The two pop icons, you got Madonna and her ultimate rival, I guess, would be Janet Jackson.
I kind of rely on Sarah to make those observations, but that's something we hadn't really thought of. That had never occurred to me. That it's not Janet versus Britney and Madonna, that it's actually Justin versus Britney in these two public displays. That's actually a pretty good observation.
Absolutely.
Well noted, my friend. Excellent.
Were you comparing me to Sarah?
Well, I'm just saying that on this, I'm just saying that you know, normally her People magazine reading ass is the one who makes these insightful observations, but I'm glad that you were there in a pinch.
Well, thank you, sir.
Excellent. There you go. That's Jesse. Excellent. Well spotted. Here's Tim Riley.
Plans for a topless barbershop that sparked a furor with women's rights groups vowing to organize a pickup and shame male clients. This is in England. It's called A Bit Off the Top, and it's in a town called Paisley. Also, the city fathers of Paisley are trying to stop the opening of another store called Bongheads, which sells drug paraphernalia, cannabis seeds, pornography, and sex toys.
Why don't we have that store here? We were just talking about what a great country this is. But, I mean, that's a mark of how far we need to go. That really is
evidence. The English do everything before us.
It's true. And so the whole thing is to get what? To shame men into not going to the topless barber?
Yes.
But you know, women, here's just a little tip from me to you. You can't shame men into doing anything, all right? Because for you to shame men into doing something, it's like we have to have shame, and we just don't. It's just a fact. It's neither good nor bad. It just is the case that men have systematically, over many hundreds of generations, we've just had our shame weeded out of us. Because if men had any shame, we would never reproduce, because it's like we would never be able to demean and grovel long enough to get laid. So just don't worry about it.
Meanwhile, Parliament member Sandra White says, I'm appalled by the shop. It's degrading to women. It's part of this lavish culture of treating women like playthings. This is where violence starts.
Yeah. All right, eat me. Let's do this. We'll come back. We got more on the way. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, who was at the Super Bowl, Hick Watch, and more. Stay there. Talk 1080 KTK. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
The Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Hey, by the way, I want to thank the guy. What's his name? Tom. The guy at Pearly White's Mobile Tooth Whitening Service. I want to thank, because we were making fun of the guy. Tim saw something like the Willamette or whatever, and it just seemed like the worst idea ever. I just pictured some guy backing up to your business in like a truck. You know, all right, come on in. You're just sitting in your chair, and a guy like sandblasting your teeth, and then, you know, next. Apparently, so the guy heard it. Or somebody told him about it, and so he sent me this really nice letter. He said, Rick, just wanted to thank you for the few words you shared with the audience about my business. I can always use a few words. And then he encloses a whole thing. Includes, which is sort of like including and enclosing, a whole pile of information about his thing. His tagline is, I can't help your face, but I can help your teeth. So you got to give it up for that guy. So anyway.
Pretty cool.
So there you go. Pearly White's guy. All right, it's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
Well, Sharon Osbourne is disappointed with Janet Jackson for burying one of her breasts at the Super Bowl. She said she wanted to see both of them. Then headliners having a field day. They're calling the episode, quote, a tempest in a sea cup. Also calling it a boob tube. One writer for the Detroit News went as far to say that the halftime show and commercials gave comfort to Osama bin Laden We're showing the U.S. as a nation of infidels.
Well, that's great, too. See, that's the that's the best thing about something like that. You know what I mean? As I've often said, if we could just go over and just sort of put, like, Hooters restaurants and strip clubs everywhere over there, and then also slot machines, I mean, they would completely understand why America is great. Because here's the thing. I think they just don't understand it because they just haven't come here. You know what I mean? It's like they... I don't know. It's, you know what it is? It's like when your mom's trying to get you to eat a food, and you're like, no, I don't like it, but you've never had it. You know, no, it's try it. It's Baba Ganoush. I don't like Baba Ganoush. Sure you like Baba Ganoush. It's fantastic. No, I don't, but it's like you've never had Baba Ganoush, and so you just dig in your heels. But then once you try it, maybe with a little hummus on the side and a pita, then you discover that Baba Ganoush is exactly your, it's your cup of tea. That's so it is with being an infidel.
I want to change my name to Baba Ganoush. I think I'm Baba Ganoush, Metro Traffic. I think it would work.
It's funny. It's the funniest. And every time I say Baba Ganoush, which is hilarious, by the way, and I'll go get me a little Mediterranean every again, and I find reasons to say it over and over because it's hilarious.
I like Boboli, too.
And Boboli is funny. Baba Ganoush is funny. And it also reminds me, Baba Ganoush reminds me of the great god Ganesh, which in turn reminds me of Apu saying to Homer Simpson, please do not offer my god a peanut. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent and man about the world, Ed McCarthy. How are you, my friend?
Rick, how you doing? Long time.
Are you a fan of Baba Ganoush?
Baba Ganoush, I know him well. He lives down the street.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Bow! That's Ed McCarthy.
We'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Tip your barmaids and waitresses. I am Ed McCarthy. Hey, you were at the Super Bowl, right?
Yes, sir.
Were you there? Were you there during the halftime show?
Yeah.
You weren't in the bathroom or anything, were you?
Yeah. Well, I had to do that first, but we were back for the halftime show.
And so, could you even see it from where? I mean, I don't know where you were in the crowd.
Yeah.
But I mean,
basically, they had the press auxiliary box. We're up in the bleeds, but still, people were kind of shocked because they had it up on the screen.
Yeah.
The big screen.
What was the sound? What sound did the crowd make when it happened?
Oh, wow. Are you kidding me?
It sounds like...
Look at that.
That's a sound that indicates some sort of awkward, nervous sweating. That's what it sounds like you're doing. And then it just... But it happened like it was the blink of an eye, right? And then it was kind of done.
The blink of an eye, then following that was the streaker guy, which he didn't get on TV.
The streaker guy was great, though. I mean, and the streaker guy managed to stay out there. You can see this all over the net for a long time. He was pretty impressive with that.
Rick, you know why I think he managed to stay out there? I think that was a setup.
With the streaker guy?
Yeah. Remember they were talking about the mystery guest?
Ah, yeah. So it's not Bob Dylan. It's just a man waving his genitals around on the field.
Well, actually, he had an athletic supporter on. So
that's not a real streaker.
Yeah, no, it really wasn't. But I've seen the guy. Remember the guy was on a commercial? They had a rugby game where he ran out, and he was at Wimbledon. He was all over the place.
Yeah, I do indeed. So wait, it wasn't the same guy, though.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it was a put-up. I mean, how with all the security, I mean, if they're frisking me going through the line, to get into the place with all my radio gear.
And you're not nude.
No, I wasn't, and thank God I wasn't, because we didn't want to turn the crowds away.
It doesn't count that we have a guy at an athletic. When I was a kid, streaking meant something. It meant that you were nude. It meant
I know. Think times have changed.
And these kids today, they don't have any get up and go. There's no gumption, Ed. That's what there is. There's no gumption in this world.
So. What did you think of that halftime deal?
I was okay. It seemed like everybody... Am I the only one who... It seemed like everybody was performing songs from 1992, though.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, everybody who was out there was, like, performing the great old hits of yesteryear, which on the one hand is nice, because I'm old and out of touch with music. But on the other hand, it just makes me feel... It makes me feel even more aged than I normally do, that when I see the Super Bowl out-and-out pandering to my demographic. But I don't know. At a certain point, you just start flipping around the television looking for, like, poker games somewhere. You know what I mean? It just becomes, you know what it is? Watching the Super Bowl halftime show, and I got a pretty big television, but watching this ginormous Super Bowl event on a television, especially when it's a big pyrotechnic display, it's kind of like seeing a home movie of the It's a Small World ride. It just fails to convey the enormity of the event. You know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly.
So I think you and I could put together a better one.
Well, we could. Well, let's try that next year.
Next time, I want to have a Super Bowl event that climaxes in monkeys charging out of a box and attacking the crowd.
That would be good. Actually, I was at an Orange Bowl game once where the fireworks did attack the crowd.
Yeah, see, that's great.
Wasn't part of the act. All the ambulances started rolling in.
And you could get like a Vegas line going on or something. Do you think Ted Turner ever foresaw a day when his network would have Janet Jackson's boob as the lead story for like 2 days?
No.
No.
Probably not.
No, it's probably not a thing he's happy about. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, among other things, like losing money.
Yeah, well, that's also true. They're CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Excellent. Love that guy. All right, it's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
Time for the Job Watch.
Minimum wage. Yeah!
1 in 10 workers is incompetent. Yes, more than 1 in 10 workers are incompetent at their jobs. This is a survey of 72,100 employers. Boston said inexperience was the main problem, though lack of motivation and their own failure to train the staff were reported by almost a third.
How about the fact that 1 in 10 workers are incompetent? I'm surprised it's only 1 in 10. 1 in 10 workers are incompetent because 9 in 10 jobs are dick. You know, they're just nothing. They're pointless. They're stupid.
And look who's making the survey work. It's management. How many people do surveys on whether or not management is incompetent?
Yeah, and you know how they do that, too. That's like one of those David Brent guys coming by your cubicle and, so, are you happy here? And you're so in fear of losing your job. Yes! Yes, I love it here! Don't fire me! Don't fire me! That's totally what it is. That's how these, you know, they have all these performance reviews where, you know, they find out if you're happy with your job, are you happy with what you're doing and everything, and people are so completely terrified that they're going to be blown out and given the sack. You know, that you just find yourself on your knees, you know, pleasuring the company because you're so desperately trying to cling to your bad job that you hate. I mean, that's the, can I just tell you this? And I'm not trying to say that this applies to us because radio certainly has its share of stresses. But no one here in this building can really claim that we have like the worst job on earth. I mean, we have a pretty good job, all things considered. But having been one of the, I mean, all of us here, except for, well, no, Sarah worked at Starbucks, so that, I don't know if that counts. But, I mean, we've all pretty much worked at bad jobs at one point or another. And there's two bad things about a terrible job. It's bad on two levels. A, you have the bad job itself. And then, secondly, when you have to sort of grovel to keep a job you don't even like in the first place, that's the very worst feeling. When you find yourself just tap dancing like a monkey, trying to keep a job that you don't even like. I mean, that's the very worst feeling in the entire world, you know? So, screw that survey. And those people.
And that's today's Job Watch.
There's your Job Watch.
Yeah!
We're going to go ahead and do a thing. We're going to come back. We got more on the way, including a Hick Watch, which also features incest. So you really don't want to miss that. That's going to be something you can write home to mom about, so to speak. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. We'll be back. Here's David Allen. Go.
Feel inside. Well, if you're big star bound, let me warn you, it's a long, long ride.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
The Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Hey, don't forget, we got a Hick Watch coming up. We've also got a story entitled, well, I've entitled it this myself. Is it entitled? I've entitled it myself? No, that's wrong. It's always embarrassing when I don't know how to use a word like that. Do you ever do this? Do you ever see a word that you've read a million times on the page, but you realize you've never said it out loud? And you're not really sure how it's actually pronounced? It's like the word brusque. For the longest time, I didn't know how you pronounce it. It was brusque or brisca or... No, it's got a Q. It's all very confusing. It's like my friend Scott, for the longest time, thought that Penelope was Penelope. And then the first time he said that out loud to a girl who had that name that he worked with, he said, oh, you're Penelope. And then you do the thing of, ha, I'm kidding, of course. it's just not. Anyway, we got a story coming up. We've got this. It's really the worst way to die. We're going to, and it's from our favorite newspaper, the Dagblad Hørdagsblad, or whatever the hell that is.
What the hell?
Oh, that's, that's from Amsterdam.
Yeah, the... Hergen,
the Ugen, Degen, Blagen, Blogum,
Flagen. All I know is there's Dagblad in it somewhere.
Here's the Boogen.
It's the Yosemite Sam newspaper. So we'll get to that later on. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, now Tony Blair will conduct an investigation of how he, too, got the wrong information on the Iraq invasion.
This is something I have to accept, and it's one of the reasons why I think we now need a further inquiry. It is true, David Kaye is saying, we have not found large stockpiles of actual weapons.
Yes.
What is untrue is to say that he's saying there was no weapons of mass destruction program or capability, and that Saddam was not a threat.
Let's...
Yeah, okay.
They're all using the same spin.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Kofi Annan came pretty close to issuing an I told you so today, but he wouldn't let reporters persuade him to do so.
As you know, the UN inspectors upon Mobik had been down working in Iraq for 3.5 months. At the point the war was declared, they hadn't found anything. And now that the government is thinking of setting up an investigation, I think we should wait for what. But good try.
You couldn't court him. Time for the Hick Watch.
Here's your Hick Watch for Wednesday. No, Tuesday. Tuesday? Tuesday, yes. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spinning song around my house. Copenhagen makes me feel so good.
This comes to us from Mobile, Alabama.
Of course it does.
A couple has been convicted of incest. A local couple guilty of incest are out of jail and are speaking out. Father and daughter, Carol and Alice Ferdinandson, married last spring, defending their relationship. All we want to do is to be left alone, she tells NBC 15 News.
And have lots of hot
father-daughter
sex.
30-year-old Alice and 53-year-old Carol are out of jail after serving 6 months of incest. They got married last May. We need to pick up our lives and start all over again. They say a half year behind bars and apart from each other made their love even stronger. Yes, it was rough. Really rough, said Carol.
You mean rough love?
It doesn't say.
Why?
I'd see her in the halls, but we really couldn't say much. But I knew it was there, and our love has grown. I'd do anything for him, said Alice. I would die for him. That's how much I love him.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm crazy, said Carol. But I'm crazy in love with her.
Yeah.
The love I felt for him started when I was 13, she said.
Of course it
did.
That
landed Carol in jail for second-degree rape of a minor. I served 9 months in that penitentiary, said he. But to me, it was worth it, and our love has grown since then.
That's a touching, sweet little tender story, isn't it?
This sounds like a romantic novel read by Tim Riley. It's... I love you, and
think
you're...
Think she's going to say, oh, you named a star after me?
That's so... That's... Yes, I did. Now roll over.
Oh,
that's
God.
Genius. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
Between Daddy's cold, cold sheets.
Oh, man, we have to find that song.
Yeah. Can I have that story?
That's over
oh,
here.
Oh, man.
Use that for some stuff later on. I'll be able to milk some. Yeah, use that for some stuff later.
Yeah, all right. Excellent. All we want is to be left alone. Carol Ferdinandson. He's got one of those names that never ends. Ferdinandson. So we can finish our lives together. Jesus.
Did it say anything about what happened to the mother?
The mom? I don't know where the mom is. The mom is... Well, I mean, if you were the mom, would you still be there? Would you be sticking around?
Away the day they got out of prison.
Seriously, if you were the mom, would you be sticking around so you can watch your husband shtook the daughter? I mean, it's, you don't want to be there for that. You'll just... That's going to ruin your whole day. Just, yeah, she's gone. She's down the road there. Excellent. There's your Hick Watch for Tuesday. Well done. Kind of thing never happens in, like, Seattle.
Well, Fox's latest entry in the reality genre, My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiancé, was more obnoxious than ever last night, as Randy, who's vying for $1 million to try to pass off the show's title character as her groom-to-be, was told it was time for Steve to meet her family.
Oh, man, that show is genius. Who watched it last night?
I did.
Oh, man, that last night was the best episode. And I gotta tell you, it saddens me that there's not a lot of buzz about the show. You know, because it's just, it's not like everybody has to watch what I watch, but it's a great, great show. And last night was the best episode yet, because the deal, of course, is that for her to win $1 million, she's got to get her friends and family all to come to the wedding and not object. You know, she's got to get everybody in her family basically to sign off on marrying this guy. but she doesn't know that the guy is an actor who is designed to be as hideous and as horrible as possible. And his family, who she had to meet last night, is equally bad, if not worse. And it was just, it was full of the most awkward, cringe-inducing, hilarious moments you've ever seen on network television.
So here she is, trying to sound convincing. The 23-year-old first-grade teacher called her folks to invite them over.
I met someone, and he's awesome.
Well, I like him.
Sure.
You'll adore him.
Oh, I'm excited.
I mean, we're definitely, you know, I love him.
Oh.
That sounded weird.
Well, it's because they've edited it down for time, but so she meets his family, and the family, of course, is all fake, too. She doesn't know any of this, but him and his whole family, they're all actors, and their whole point, it's, you know what it is? It's like meeting Randy Quaid's family in the Vacation movies. That's all it is, man. It's just, you know, the guy got a crapper's full into the street. That's totally what the whole, that's it, man. And so at one point, they're all, like, in the hot tub together, and the dad takes off his pants.
And then they're talking about lending him their Kama Sutra book.
Yeah, and the, yeah. And the God, and this, these are all, and so she, the girl who's trying to win $1 million, is in the hot tub with her, quote, fiancé and the family. And the dad takes off his pants, and he's nude in the hot tub, and then at one point he's, well, one of these shower jets is treating me like a prom date. You know, and the look of horror on her face. And then later, she and her fiancé's mom are in the kitchen together, and the mom starts in with the, are you going to breastfeed? How big are your nipples? I mean, it was just, how big are your hips? And she's down measuring the woman's hips to see if she's going to be able to have, you know, to be a good breeder and whatnot. I mean, it was just horrifying to watch. It really is just the best thing ever.
And it looks like ABC's bringing back Who Wants to Be a Millionaire back to its primetime schedule with this one's ratings battle.
Lucky
and Regis will be back, too.
First of all, everything's increased. You know, we don't start with a measly $100. It's $1,000, and then we just go rip-roaring right up to $10 million.
Sounds like somebody went in and turned his nostrils inside out.
Yeah.
No, he's from New York.
Notice that we're all really overwhelmed. Can I just tell you this? I'm proud that I never liked that show in the first place. I remember when the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and it's like I would come to work and everybody, did you watch Millionaire last night? You know,
No, I didn't.
No. Everybody on Earth was into that show except for me. I'm proud that I never liked it. I never watched it.
Meanwhile, Cedric the Entertainer comes back to the shop as a talent like it is, Eddie, in Barbershop 2, we chatted recently. And he explained why Queen Latifah and Eddie always speak their minds.
It's the writer's voice and to say, with this character, I get to make some bold statements about, from the African-American point of view, what we feel about the war, what we feel about President Bush, what we feel about Trent Lott, you know, all these cats. We just going to jump at them, you know. So, and then, you know, at the same time, you hit your Bobby and Whitney's and your R. Kelly's and all your subject matter that's out there right now, you know?
Man, what would we do without Bobby and Whitney, you know? I mean, it's just it's just fantastic. I mean, it's just such a comedic vein of gold that just goes 50 miles deep. When does this movie come out?
It's
not out already.
I think it is out already.
No. It didn't open.
It doesn't say.
Man,
so I would imagine it already is.
I'm all over Barbershop.
Actually, yeah, I think it is already out.
Damn me.
Yeah.
Damn me and my non-movie attention-paying ass.
I like Queen Latifah, too. I've always liked her.
You like Queen Latifah because she has got the largest breasts in the known universe.
Oh, no, she had a breast reduction.
No.
She did?
Yeah.
Damn her. Why do they always do that? Why?
Because if she's carrying 40 pounds on the front of her chest, that's going to hurt your back.
Oh, please.
She lost a lot of weight, too. I mean, I liked her even when she was fat. She's
well,
cute.
She didn't even lose that much weight. It was that she got so much of her breasts taken off that she looked a lot thinner.
It's a shame. What if she donated it to some flat-chested woman somewhere? Yeah, is that a thing where it's like, you just, you know, some small-boobed woman somewhere that's just, you know, won't you please help? You know, somewhere there's a woman who's, you know, there's a woman and an A. Well, you know, you get those women that are like a double A, and it's like they make bras. Why do they even make bras for women that are double A's? These are things I think about. I think about their stuff all the time. Because you'll see these, you know, like, you see whatever. You see like an ad in the newspaper or something. We carry all sizes, double A to triple I or something. And you wonder, like, who goes to the store and buys a double A bra?
You still
got to
keep them in place, even if they're small.
Keep them in place. Where are they going? Where are they going to go
to? Well, if you're jogging or something.
But they're tiny. Isn't a double A basically like just being a boy? I mean, isn't it just nothing? I mean, I don't care. I'm not trying to pass judgment. I'm
just
saying
it's that small. I know that AA, I think that's training bra sizes.
Training bra.
Yeah.
Does it have wheels on the back or something? All right. Tim Riley.
Cedric, please explain Queen Latifah's role in this film.
We get into a little tiff with one another because I insult her niece. So, as Eddie. So, but it was just great. She's dynamic, man. She's got great personality, good, funny timing, and if she had any questions, like, you know, even when she wanted to top me, she was just like, hey, I need to top you right here. Write me a joke. I'm like, all right.
Attacks by sea pirates worldwide increased by 20% last year. But most encouraging, they're happening in Asia, and oil and gas tankers are a favored target, says the International Maritime Bureau. Although piracy is a century-old problem in Southwest Asia, the recent pattern has word regional security officials who warn terrorists may be planning to use hijacked gas tankers as a floating bomb. Assaults against tankers occurred for 23% of attacks last year. Pirates used new tactics in coordinating raids with several small speedboats surrounding slow-moving
ships. I think it would be fantastic if you were overtaken by pirates. You know? I mean, like, if you got to go out, if you got to get shot or robbed or something, that's the way to go, man. So you can go home and, yes, we'd be boarded by pirates. It was terrible.
Meanwhile, a guard found a pubic hair in his chocolate pudding during a shift at a Townsville prison last week. The officer sat down to eat the dessert last Saturday night when he made the gruesome discovery. And worse was to come when inmates confessed that food cooked for officers often contained saliva and urine.
Why would you, if you were a prison guard, why would you eat anything prepared by an inmate? Doesn't that fall into the category of obvious things you wouldn't do? This email says, has Clyde lost his mind? Rick, has anyone, first of all, conclusively determined whether Janet was wearing a pasty or if she was wearing a nipple shield? Inquiring minds want to know. No, it was just a little ring that went around.
It was a medallion.
Like a little medallion that snapped on. You know what it was? Like one of those, you know what it is? Like one of those faceplates you put in your Swatch watch? Just right over the top, you know, to change the outside. That's what.
Well, what's this got to do with me losing my mind?
Okay, I'm trying to read the email here.
All right.
Second, has Clyde stopped taking his medication? His shrieking yesterday made me think of Charles McCord going ballistic on the Ima show, much like that promo you run. Clyde, it's okay if you're gay. We still love you. Besides, who wouldn't do RuPaul? F. Matt with Clyde effing RuPaul.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by
Sam and Raleigh Hills. All right, Alan, we got no time. Okay, so we'll come back. We'll do more. All right, coming up later on, we got news at Ground Zero. We've also got today's top five songs about a specific body part in honor of Janet Jackson. You stay there. Plus, the worst way to die. Don't go anywhere. It's all ahead on the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Stevie Wonder.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Jim Riley. Don't miss the Winter Hawks' 1,000th home game celebration. This Sunday night at 5 at Memorial Coliseum, fans 18 and over can win one of two $1,000 diamond rings courtesy of Eric Runyon Jewelers of Vancouver. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster. More election stuff. Howard Dean's campaign says he'll spend the night in Seattle and make a major policy speech tomorrow at 8 o'clock at the Westin Hotel. Not to be outdone, John Kerry has arrived in Spokane. Why, that's Washington's second biggest city. Well, he'll address about 500 supporters waiting for a speech at an airport hangar. Uh-oh, could this be the announcement we're waiting for? Sources say Joe Lieberman is making contingency plans to pull out of the race. Now, the AP has learned the Connecticut senator will drop out if he doesn't win at least one of the seven states holding contests today. Lieberman's best hope is Delaware, where he's been campaigning and launching ads for weeks. Staffers insist Lieberman is moving to the next series of states, planning to campaign in Virginia tomorrow. But others close to the senator confirm that an event is being planned tomorrow in Connecticut, where he could announce he's pulling out. Mostly cloudy today. Scattered showers this afternoon. Highs 45 to 50. Same for tonight and tomorrow. Tim Riley, KOTK News.